step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18+.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
It's brand new season two. I'm Marissa Thalberg.
And I'm Stephen Wolf Bedatum. And we're excited to be back having bigger, bolder, and always real conversations.
Straight from the C-suite front lines of marketing, media, and more.
We have great friends joining from people you may know, like Wilmer Valderrama and Bobby Burke.
And people you'll want to know. So grab a coffee or, hey, even an Aperol Spritz and come join us on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Listen to Brand New on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi there, I'm Bob Pittman, Chairman and CEO of iHeartMedia. Welcome to Math and Magic, stories from the frontiers of marketing. This week, I'm talking to the one and only Ryan Seacrest.
Love the connection to people. I think at the core, what I get excited about, what gets me up in the morning, is connecting with people in an unscripted, unvarnished way. It's getting to say something to them, hear back from them, know that I'm part of the routine. And I look forward to getting on the air. I look forward to it.
In these exciting times, we're looking to the math, the strategy and analytics, and the magic, the creative spark, more than ever. Listen to Math and Magic on our very own iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
That's what I always say. You always follow the money.
Yeah. This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard on VSiN.
Welcome back. Golf's second major is here, and Bet Rivers Sportsbook's got a great offer for you. Every day of the tournament, just log on to Bet Rivers and receive a 20% profit boost for the PGA. Fields wide open. Take advantage of the daily profit boost during the PGA Championship at Bet Rivers. Bet on the app or go to BetRivers.com.
I have a feeling that we could talk to our next guest for 2 hours minimum, no problem. I can't wait for this. It's an honor and a pleasure to be joined right now by Gary McCord. By the way, he's going to be on the SiriusXM PGA Tour radio coverage following every round this week for 2 hours. The wrap-up show, played in more than 400 PGA Tour events, but was an unbelievable analyst for like more than three decades on this sport, and he joins us now this morning. Gary, thanks so much for the time today. How you doing?
Boys, how's it going?
Hello,
doing
sir.
Doing really well. Really well.
Outstanding.
Yes, yes. So this is phenomenal. I could not believe the quote that I read from you in this upcoming book about Phil Mickelson, just because I found it so fascinating. But it was about throwing wads of 20s at Phil and having bets with him while you were in the TV booth and he was playing in tournaments. Incredible. Can you give us the background story on this, how it started, why it started, and you can take it away.
Well, I mean, I live in Scottsdale, Arizona, and Phil Mickelson obviously lives here, went to school here. And I first got my introduction to Phil. First time I met him, we were playing, it was a Tucson Open, and we were playing at Star Pass out in Tucson. And I was just starting the back nine. It was getting late in the day, and I was just going off the back nine, and there's a guy that came walking up, and he says, listen, I'm Phil Mickelson, and can I play nine holes with you before it gets dark? And he'd just come, I think he was a junior. Maybe he was a senior at ASU, Arizona State University. And I knew who he was, obviously, from his background of winning NCAA and all that. And I said, sure, I'm just going to play nine. We got to go pretty fast because, we're running out of daylight up here. So we get going and we're playing. and we're talking, and you know, and somehow, you know, we start playing for, you can't play golf without playing for money, right? So yeah, we're gonna play. Okay, we'll play for 20, whatever. We get to about 7. It's getting dark. It's getting really dark, and he looks at me and he goes, "I'm down 2 or 3." Okay, so, and I'm not pressing because he looks like he's way better than I am. And he goes, "Hey," he says, "I got an idea." He says, "Why don't we play the last 3 holes and play for?" And I don't know what it was, guys. I have no idea. It had to be somewhere between 50 and 100. He says, "So why don't we play the last 3 holes? You play out of my bag, and I'll play out of your bag." Well, obviously he's left-handed, right? So I go, "Okay, fine." So here we go. You know, trying to play nine. I'm just trying to play 9 holes and figure out the golf course. Here I am playing left-handed in the dark. This doesn't make any sense. Well, we get done. He beats me badly. And I didn't know Phil at that time was right-handed. I thought he was left-handed. Oh, hell, he's right-handed. So he was fine the other way. So, you know, the idiot conned me when he was senior, junior, and in college. And that's the first introduction I got to Phil. That's the first time I met him. And I went, okay, fine. And then I'm almost sure, I know he won the tournament. I think it was that year that he went on to win the Tucson Open and as an amateur.
All right. So how long does it take to get that rapport then, where it's so you're just flashing fingers to Bones and he whispers in the ear?
That was easy. I mean, that's, you know, we do that. Here's the deal with Phil. Here's the deal with Phil. Phil would rather beat some of his buddies, the ones he really wants to beat. He wants to do that more than he does want to win a golf tournament. Got it? I mean, he does. If you want to get him going, you know, bet him 100 or whatever that he can't do something, regardless of the golf tournament or whatever. He'll do it. And he uses that as motivation. I'm telling you guys, okay. I don't remember. I think I beat him twice. But, you know, I'm up in the tower and I'm looking at a putt and I'm flashing down, you know, 3-1, 4-1, whatever it is. The units were always 20, so it was pretty simple. So I just, in my left hand, I'd throw up, you know, 2-1, 3-1, 4-1, whatever it was. And then Phil would look up. Sometimes he'd go, yeah, sometimes he wouldn't. And, but honestly, every time I did it, he made it. 20 footer, 25 footer, he made the damn thing.
So
and, you know, I'm just throwing 20s down, wadding them up, getting mad. Because usually, you know, up in the tower, they've got to go from the 16th hole to 17th, so they go right by my tower. So I just toss it down to them, and somebody turned me in. It was at Castle Pines where I got caught. And somebody called CBS, the tour called CBS, and told that idiot on 16, tell me you can't do that anymore. Which I think is funny now, because that wasn't that long ago. It's probably that. When we were doing that, this is probably 7 to 10 years ago, and now there are two main sponsors on the tour are FanDuel and DraftKings.
Great. It's great.
And very hypocritical.
Well, we're talking to Gary McCord here. I'm glad you brought that up about Phil, how betting was more important to him, because I looked it up, and who knows how accurate this is, Gary, but I did see one report where his career earnings topped $800 million, and it made me think of, you know, the old movie, The Hustler, with Jackie Gleason and Paul Newman. Such a great pool and gambling movie. But the infamous line from that movie is, money won is twice as sweet as money earned. So you're telling me that that's definitely true with Phil Mickelson?
Drives Phil Mickelson. That will drive Phil Mickelson. He'll, we were trying to remember this one. I know it was a Riviera. We're on the driving range. I'm down there talking to Phil before the tournament there at Riviera, and it's on a Sunday. And Phil is, and I just remember this guy, so I'm trying to go over this. Phil is, I'm thinking he is like 6 or 7 shots back, and I go, okay, Phil. Hey, Phil. Good luck. You guys play good, Bones. See ya. And I turn around and go, and Phil goes, hold on. He says, here's the deal. He says, If you gave me 2-to-1 odds, I'll bet your 1,000 to my 5,000 that I can shoot 64 or better. And I stopped and I went, 64, man, that's a hell of a score at Riviera. And he's got a shot to win the thing. And I'm choking because I'm not going to bet him, right? So Pat Perez was sitting next to him at ball. I said, Pat, you in for half on this if I do it? And he looked at me and goes, hell no, I'm not. And I didn't take the bet. I'll be damned. I think he shot 64, 65,
oh, geez,
something like that, the last round. But again, he was using that to motivate himself because there's nothing better than if Phil took, and I don't gamble that much. You play golf, you go out and have some fun, gamble for 20s or 15s or 100s or whatever it is. And for him to take like $5,000 off me, he would jump for joy for 30 minutes just because, ha, ha, I got it. Mm-hmm. Not that he won the tournament, but the fact that, he beat you out of some money as, his buddies. And that's just, again, that's motivation. There's some guys that do that, and they take it to, sure, to new heights, because of the cash.
So, who else, 2 minutes before we have to break, is there anyone else like that? I mean, is there anyone who needed action a rapport you had with other golfers?
No. It was Phil just kind of the king of that, okay, out there. And then he teaches, the young kids. Again, there's nothing worse Tuesday than a practice rounder where he's out there putting 50-footers and 80-footers and taking 20, 30 minutes on every green, trying to figure out the golf course. Phil goes out there and they got their money games and they concentrate that way. And they actually, when you're playing for that kind of money, you're actually paying attention. So you're actually playing the golf course as you would in the tournament coming up. Got it?
Mm-hmm.
Other than just getting around and hitting balls and going, sure, I'm going to hit this. If I miss it to the left of the screen, I got a bump and run or I got to flop it or whatever. Now you're actually playing the golf course and going, okay, there's enough money to catch my attention, so I've got to play decent. So it's another way to put some pressure on you to get used to the competition that Thursday through Sunday.
Coming up, Gary, I want to ask you about the scene from Tin Cup and where that came from. But again, in like 30 seconds here, is it possible for Phil to play around without side bets?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Were you the only analyst that would bet with him?
Yeah, I think. I knew him since he was a kid and in college, so we played all the time together. And stupid bets, but my God. we were trying to make Phil reminds me a lot of Titanic Thompson, Alvin Clarence Thomas, the sports gambler, the most notorious sports gambler ever in the United States. He reminds me a lot of Titanic Thompson and some of the stuff that Phil would do, which is that stuff is biblical, how funny that stuff was.
Yeah, on that note, and we're going to have one more segment here with Gary McCord. Awesome stuff. One of the best analysts in any sport. Did it for more than 30 years on CBS for golf. We have to ask him about this because it's also in the upcoming book about Phil, Pauly. Was it well known that in recent times Phil would check football scores on his phone in the middle of a round? That's in the book. We'll continue here and follow the money. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Follow the money on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back. It is Follow the Money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, as we continue with Gary McCord. He played in more than 400 tournaments on the PGA Tour and a longtime analyst, was so good. Loved the mustache, such a character. Loved to hear him for so many years, along with David Faraday and others on the golf coverage. I want to ask you this. We're talking about Phil Mickelson a lot because of the quote about you'd throw wads of 20s out the TV booth because you'd have bets with him for small amounts of money when he was coming up to your hole while he was playing. But as you know, Gary, we are based here in Las Vegas. We've heard quite a few stories about, the golf courses out here in town and how much money could change hands with, some pros, specifically some professional poker players, for example, And my God, who knows how much money they were playing per hole. But when was like the first time that you got wind of that or the first time that you were ever around a professional gambler?
You know, I went back to tour school. We had to go back and, you know, 1,000 guys enter the thing and they end up playing for 15 spots to get up back on the tour back in those days. And I remember we were back in Florida. Yeah, a bunch of young kids and got some buddies there. We were probably 23, 24, something like that. And we go out and we're playing practice round down in South Florida for the qualifier to get ready for the qualifier. And there was a guy out there and there was three of us and he said, "Can I join you guys?" And we said, "Yeah." And you qualifying for the two? "Yeah." He says, "I'm here for a practice round too." And he was African American. And we get in the first hole and he's playing cross-handed. And I went, "Well, that, I've never seen anybody play cross-handed before." So we're out there playing, you know, and we're gambling a little bit, nothing serious. And we get to about the 16th hole and, you know, for a bunch, three kids from Southern Cal. And he goes, we get to this hole. It was a par three. It was an island green. It was about 140, 145 yards. To the pin, island green. And we all hit it, and we start to walk out the tee. He goes, "Guys," he says, "you like to gamble." He says, I'll bet you guys 20 apiece I could throw a golf ball on that green right here. And I looked at this thing, and I went, "There's no way anybody could throw a golf ball on that green from here." "All right, you got it." Just so we peel it. He takes that thing. He took it one finger. He took two windups and he whipped that thing, threw it in the front of the green. It was about 120, something like that. 120, 120 yards. He hit it on, it went on the green. It rolled in the back of the green. "Gee, are you kidding me?" So we get done, and I don't know who won the, you know, that day, but we paid him the money and everything. So he said, You guys are great. We're sitting there having a beer, and he goes, "You guys like to gamble. I feel bad about taking your money." So he said, "Listen, I got a bet for you." He says, I'll bet you I could put five golf balls in my mouth and close my mouth." I said, "What?" He says, "I'll bet you I can put five golf balls in my mouth and close my mouth." So I go, "What? No way." So I go to my golf bag is right out there. So I run out and I get two golf balls. I'm trying to put two golf balls in my mouth and close it, and I can't do it. "Okay, you got it. Guys, how much we got?" "Da da da. We got 150 here. Can't do it." "Okay." So he goes out and he gets three out of his golf bag. He gets two sleeves in the boxes. Gets there and he puts one in, two in, three in. I'm going, "Oh no." Four in, and then the fifth one, he squeezes his lips closed, and he put five golf balls in his mouth and closed it. We couldn't believe it. So I go, "You're kidding." So we have another beer. "I'll buy you guys a beer." So we're sitting there, and he goes, "You guys are really good guys." He says, "I'll tell you what, here's the bet. I'll put a loaf of bread in my mouth and close it." "Oh, what? Loaf of bread." I go, "Guys, how much we got left?" And we go, we had like just over 200. But now this is for the week. Okay, we're running. We just got there. We've got to still go the whole week. So whatever we had left, we bet. So I go down the store and I get, I don't know, you guys aren't old enough, but there's a thing called Wonder Bread. And it was just a big fluffy white, right in the package. And it's a foot and a half long. And I go, "All right." So we put it down and we put the cash down. He started kneading that bread and kneaded it, started stuffing his mouth. And he was saying, he closed his lips with his left hand. And he had an entire loaf of bread in his mouth. And his name, I found out later, he was a professional gambler. James Black was his name. And he was one of the shills that hung around with Titanic Thompson. He would caddy for Titanic, and then Titanic, after his partner inexplicably left, he would take his caddy to play these guys in a money game. And of course, his caddy was, he could play his rear end off, and that was James Black. And he was the first guy that we got hustled. But I learned, if somebody says, hustlers, I can do something for money, forget it. They can do it.
Yeah. They can do it.
For sure.
They can do it.
I mean, the Phil Ivey stories and the Daniel Negreanu stories about how much these guys play, too, along with Billy Walters. Negreanu went out and hired a coach and a caddy and everything because there's so much money to be made.
Yeah, because, you know, the poker and everything fills up the night, so what do you do during the day, right?
Yes.
Might as well make it productive.
So where did that scene in Tin Cup come from? You're in the movie, obviously. You had a big role behind the scenes of that movie as well. Costner's up against the tree, and he says to you in the movie, I bet you $50 I can get on the green. And you're like, no way you can. And he did. Where'd that come from?
That one was written by Ron Shelton. Wrote that in. John Norville and Ron Shelton wrote that. It was just a play off of, a lot of guys.
Okay.
Little ricochet shots. I mean, Johnny Miller had the best ricochet shot I've ever seen at Harbortown. You know those pilings they got? It was on the 17th hole. And he was in the bunker, and he ricocheted it, hit it, and went over his shoulder on the green about 8 feet from the hole. Deepest thing I ever saw. And so Ron probably took it off of something like that, where we do that a lot. There's a tree there, and you got to go the other way, whack it off the tree, right?
Yep, makes sense. Two things I want to get to you, Gary, and we have like 3 minutes left here. I tease this before the break. Tom Lehman is also in the upcoming book. You're in it as well with the quote about throwing 20s at Phil. Tom Lehman said that there's a one day where Phil's hitting it everywhere, right? And he's playing terribly. And at one point, he goes over and he sits on a stump, like in the woods by himself, and he's facing the other way. Tom goes over to console him to see if he's okay. He's checking football scores. Is that like, that's well known with Phil?
Oh, yeah. They're all these guys have got fantasy teams and everything else. And I know Phil's in a, Jim Nantz talks about it all the time. Phil's in a fantasy league with CBS. We used to have a draft and everything else. And it was highly competitive just because you could roast the other guys on Twitter, right? And emails. You know, if your guys are doing well, and so it's always Sunday, the games are on, and Phil's down there checking out how his fantasy team is doing against the other guys on CBS. And he's tweeting during the game and roasting these guys about how his team is kicking your team's rear end. So Nance went out and he got Tony Romo as his partner in this fantasy league.
Yeah.
So Phil's, you know, roasting Tony the whole time while, you know, Tony's doing the telecast somewhere and Nance is doing it. It's hilarious. It's part of the vacuum of the PGA Tour. You know, these guys, they're athletes and they're not in a team sport, so they like to go after the other guys.
Down to like a minute here, Gary. So obviously he's concerned about this book coming out, but also beyond that, Billy Walters, professional gambler, was the book coming out. Do you have any, like, what's the level of dread for Phil with that book coming out?
You know, Billy Walters is a good friend of mine. I know the book was supposed to be done. I talked to him 2 weeks ago.
Oh,
see how the book was doing. But it was supposed to come out in February, and I wanted Billy to come out on our Sirius XM PGA Tour radio show that we've got, David Faraday, myself, and Drew Stoltz. And I wanted Billy to come on and talk about the book, you know, be one of the first ones. I told Billy, we've got tens of listeners, you know, there's 20 or 30 people if he wants to break this thing, you know. So I just called him up about some other stuff, and we were just talking. He said, you know, Armin Katayan is writing it from Sports Illustrated.
Yes.
And yeah, there's some concern there, but I don't know. I didn't ask Billy at the time whether, you know, he's got anything on Phil or anything, but the book's coming out at the end of the year.
Fair enough. Gary, can't thank you enough for your time today to tell the stories. You're going to be on the SiriusXM PGA Tour coverage on radio following each round of play this week with a 2-hour wrap-up show. Have a great weekend with the tournament, and thank you again for your time. We appreciate it.
You got it, guys. Take care.
Thank you.
Again, that's a guy that we could talk. I don't think a 3-hour show would be enough for him. I really don't.
No.
Dennis Bernstein, NHL bets, coming up here on Follow the Money.
the Money on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Ben Hayes, one of the lead cappers, winners, and winners, has been rolling on the diamond. He's at 5 of 6, and he studied the card today, and he's got a play he loves. Absolutely free. Text VSiN 320-350-3500 for the MLB freebie. Text VSiN 320-350-3500. Back to hockey. Dennis Bernstein, SiriusXM NHL radio host, fourthperiod.com at Dennis TFP on Twitter. Now at the JW Marriott from Edmonton, live from his home. A lot to go over. How concerned are you about your Florida pick? It's only one game, but there was a lot to like, again, with what, or not to like about Florida getting beat, and the building was dead yesterday.
Yeah, it's really surprising, Paulie, because it was a really good building for the first round against Washington. Maybe the more Washington fans, I don't know, there should be a lot of tape in the building. Yeah, I'm really concerned because they were lackadaisical at some points. The power play, they haven't scored one in the Stanley Cup playoffs, much less last night, Paulie. So to me, yeah, I'm worried. And I'm not worried just about how they played, Paul, who they played against. Like this team, Tampa, they don't want to die. They don't want to go out quietly, right? They won a game 7 in Toronto. They won game 1 here. Now Corey Perry scores a goal. Their bottom 6 get 2. So to me, I'm concerned about my Florida because they've not been here before. This group finally got to the playoffs. They haven't been in the playoffs in a long time. So I'm concerned that even though I think I had Tampa in 6 and I thought it was going to be a long series. And sometimes it's an indicator. But, yeah, just the way that game went, the crowd wasn't engaged. Yeah, you got to be a little bit worried if you're a Florida Panthers fan.
Well, here's the thing. I mean, in this sport, in this day and age, Denny, like a three-peat is it's unheard of. And to think about the Lightning maybe go. But the one thing that they have – that they can, you know, just absolutely say, okay, well, guess what? You got to go out there and beat Vasilevskiy then 4 times. I mean, that guy, he's just, he's unbelievable.
Yeah. But he could be beaten though, Mitch, in that last series. Like, he didn't have some good games. And that's the thing with this team. Like, can they sustain over another couple of months to win a championship? Because they played a lot of hockey.
They have. 56, yep.
Yeah, 56, 70, and now 82. They played a lot of hockey. They're banged up. No Braden Point. That's how great this team is. Brayden Point is like their number one center. He's out, and you're not losing. Like, you won a game 7. He played a little bit. So to me, it's just the quality of, and you know, Paulie's right, Vasilevskiy. But then you have Hedman, you have Stammer, and they're balanced six, and they have a great coach. Like, they reconstituted their bottom six that won them a championship last year, this year, and then are starting to produce. Nick Paul, a guy that came over in a trade from Ottawa, scored the 2 game-winning goals against Toronto in Game 7.
How about the series that starts tonight, Carolina and the Rangers? And the Rangers, great story to get here, but the comeback kids. But down 3-1 when Crosby goes out, and then you have a third-string goalie for much of that series. How about Carolina that won all 4 home games against Boston and outscored them 18-6? Is this a 5-game series? Is it a 6-game series? What do you think?
It's at least 6, Paul, because of Shesterkin. Like, he's been great. I think that 70-save performance in game 1, I think that took a bit out of him during that series because he wasn't himself in games 2-3. And he got better as the series went on. So at least 2. But Carolina's deep. They're smart. They're, again, nobody's not well coached when you get to this point. They're well coached. Mm-hmm. So to me, I like Carolina in this series. But the something about Madison Square Garden, Paulie. I think this is a deeper series than most people think. But Carolina's great at home. Like, they never lose at home. We talk about crowds. That crowd's crazy down there. They won a Stanley Cup. So to me, it'll be an intriguing series. But if you go back a couple seasons, Carolina waxed the Rangers. I know they're different teams right now. But I do like Carolina in this series because of their coaching speed and depth.
And it didn't go well for them in Boston either. So we've been down this road before in this round with Colorado. But this, certainly they had to go to overtime. But you look at the shots on goal. They hit 5 posts, and they outshot St. Louis 13-0 in overtime. Now a $7 series favorite, the adjusted line. Is it Colorado in the cup? No one can beat them in the West?
Yeah, I don't see it, Paulie. And Colorado, you're right. It was an overtime game. I give St. Louis a lot of credit for having guts, and they've been there before. This is going to be a nice test for them, but it's only going to be a test, Paulie. They're not going to get knocked out, Colorado. But St. Louis is a nice step. They've got depth. They've got goaltending. Ryan O'Reilly's been a monster for them this playoff. But this team is going to win the Stanley Cup. I really think so. You watch Cale Makar skate out there. You look at skate. They come at you in waves. To me, they've got the a solid goaltender, not a great goaltender, because it's Darcy Kuemper and he hasn't been here before. But to me, this is their championship to lose at this point. And I watched Calgary struggle and struggle against Dallas. He had to go to seven games and they only scored 16 goals. So I'm really interested to see what happens with Calgary tonight against Edmonton, who can score goals with Connor McDavid. Because I was in the building for game seven, Edmonton Kings. Connor McDavid played 27 minutes and 23 seconds, which is like the equivalent of a triple overtime game for a basketball player. So to me, he's just amazing, stunning. I just think that there's not enough depth. But I think Calgary gets through, Paul.
Yeah.
But I don't see anybody beating Colorado out of the West, and I don't see anybody in the East right now beating.
So, okay, the Flames get through, but what kind of a series are we talking about here? It was a lower scoring series against Dallas. Ottinger, that kid for Dallas, was unbelievable. I mean, yeah, he was probably the best player in the playoffs in the first round. But are we going to see more goals in this series because it is Edmonton? Do you trust Mike Smith? Are we going to see 6-7 games? What do you think overall?
If there was going to be one series to play the over, it would be this one, to be honest with you. You see, Mitch, what happened late in series, like all of a sudden there are no 7-2 games anymore. Like the game sevens were all one goal games, basically.
Yeah. Yep.
Right? So I would be careful on my own over-unders and the others. Like Rangers and Carolina, you're going to play over-unders in games goals-wise. You got to play the unders. But in this series, maybe lay off one, maybe a small bet on this game to see how it goes, game one. But there's one team or two teams that are going to have some offense with Connor McDavid and with the 40-goal scorers that Calgary has. It would be this series. One caveat, though, Leon Draisaitl is not 100%. There's some sort of lower body injury. He doesn't turn very quickly. That could be a deciding factor in the series. And maybe with their offense, but to me, of the series, I like this more goal scoring in the series.
Well, but now we've seen some tight games and lower scoring games now, and there were 7 minutes left in the Colorado game last night. There was only one power play. Are they gonna let some of this stuff go now, you think, or are we still gonna see a trip to the penalty, pray to the penalty box?
I don't think so, Paulie, for a couple of reasons. I think they set the standard, and that's what players want. They want to know what the standard is, what level you can hit somebody or cross check them or whatever. Like the stick fouls are the stick fouls. Mm-hmm. And I just think at this point, they're better coached teams, Paul. Like some of those teams that were overmatched in round one, they had no choice but to take penalties that I went up in the penalty box. But I think the onus is now on the referees not to let the players decide the games on the ice. We're down to eight now at this point in time. So it's the parade that you mentioned, and there was some in game one, in round one, I don't see happening in game two.
Where's Trotz going?
I think he's going to Winnipeg because he's from there. I'm not sure. Out there, I'm not sure who wants it at this point with all the drama over there. So,
Vegas would want him, right? I mean, they fired DeBoer yesterday.
Yes, of course. Yeah. No, well, Vegas would want it, but Barry has ties to Winnipeg, and they have a pretty decent team. And I'm not sure, to be frank, the way the ownership situation is with you guys, and all the changes and everything, and guys, I know guys in the league that talk to guys and say it's not a great locker room or organization because there's always, guys aren't like when Nate Schmidt left, like guys like that left, the blue guys like Ryan Reeves, that was something. So to me, there's some net disarray because look, you don't make the playoffs, you expect to win the Stanley Cup, the coach gets fired. I get it, but there's just so much going on. Yeah. I always talked about with you guys, the shiny toy theory. Bill Foley every offseason wants the biggest, shiniest toy, even if it doesn't make sense for his team. Happened to some extent with Pietrangelo. I think it's happening again with Jack Eichel. Still a really, really good team. I'm really interested to see what type of coach they get here in Vegas.
That's the thing. I think that he wants that shiny new toy, and they realize that Trotz is going to be the best guy in the market, so they're going to do what they can to get the guy. That's my opinion on it.
Oh, yeah. Look,
don't make him an offer he can't refuse.
They could. But the guy who's the owner of the Winnipeg Jets, pretty rich guy. I think he's the richest guy in Canada. But I agree. And that's the mentality you want, right? Mitch, you want to go all in with your organization. It's just that it hasn't worked out. Like, you're regressing now. You missed the playoffs. And people say, the injuries. The Kings had as many injuries as the biggest Golden Knights, and they made the playoffs, and they had a lesser team, and they didn't have Drew Doughty for half a year. So I don't buy that excuse that they have to straighten things out here in Vegas with respect to the hockey team.
Looking sharp, kid. Thanks for coming on early. Enjoy the playoffs.
I'm sharp, boys. Anytime. I will.
Dennis Bernstein, SiriusXM NHL host, fourthperiod.com writer. Well, that could be the thing with Trotz, though, too. I just went to back-to-back conference finals, and I got fired. This is Gallant goes to the Cup as an expansion team,
right,
and it's like gone a year later. What the hell's going on here, right?
Those are the perils of being a coach in the NHL.
Yep. First Bet wants you to get in all the horse racing action. Sign up today with promo code VEGAS1000. Receive $10 instantly and up to a $1,000 bonus. VSiN.com/horses for details. Bonus code VEGAS1000. Have you seen Ryan Reeves do the buffer before the game?
Oh, yeah. Yep.
He gets into it.
He was a good locker room guy, like Dennis has pointed out.
Yep.
Okay, so from last night, expected goals, Avalanche 3.73 to 1.37 for the Blues. High danger chances, a chance 16-5.
Oh, God.
I mean, it just...
Always good numbers. Yeah.
13-0 shots on goal in the overtime.
I think that's what it was, yeah. Well, five posts, too. That's the other thing. Yeah. It's ridiculous. Should have been a blowout. The first goal was a fluke, and then they get the power play goal late to tie it up.
Up next, in-pocket plays for today and beyond here on Follow the Money. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
To determine the winner of any given college basketball game.
Someone gives you 10,000 to 1 on anything. You take it. Take it. Take it.
I'll bet you 20 bucks I can get you gambling before the end of the day.
No way.
I'll give you 3 to 1 odds.
Nope.
5 to 1.
Nope.
10 to 1.
You're up.
In-pocket plays. All right, a couple of pending for yours truly. Shesterkin again. Vezina. Even money. Jaden Ivey, number one pick overall, 40 to 1. Got down on that a couple of times before last night. I'm just now to reiterate what I've said now on the show a few times. Orlando getting the number one overall pick, I don't like it. That's the one team near the top that I did not want to get the pick. I think they're going to go Holmgren now, not Smith. And Smith moved to $1.25.
I saw 140. Yeah,
yeah, that's
big
right.
Movement on
I don't
him.
Think,
yeah.
I don't know about Jabari Smith.
Too, yeah.
Although ESPN was pushing this narrative that was only three possible players last night.
Oh, yeah, good point. Who said that?
I don't know.
Someone finally said, hey, calm down, guys. There's Ivy here, too.
So Matt Norlander, okay, so this is what he covers college basketball for a living.
I think it was the guy at the end finally mentioned it on ESPN.
Oh, he did? Okay.
About, don't forget about Ivy. Someone said it.
So this is what I was trying to get across to people yesterday and why I bet Ivy.
Yeah.
He said, Matt Norlander, ESPN is pushing this Chet, Jabari, Paolo trio as the top three for the number one, and I think that makes sense. But there are still some NBA evaluators who believe Jaden Ivey is a dark horse to be taken before all of them if the right team ends up with the number one pick. I don't think Orlando was the right team for Ivey to go number one. Could be wrong. Hopefully I'm wrong.
Yeah.
Hopefully I'm wrong. I will go Cubs, first five, team total over 2.5, a fade of Mitch Keller. Today, going for the Pirates, that's plus 125 on the old diamond there, Paulie.
All right, loser yesterday. Mets got the Cardinals in game one of a doubleheader. Couldn't do anything with Williams. This is in play again today. Mets now 12-1 off a loss. Hurricanes to win in regulation. Game one tonight, $1.05 at Bet Rivers. Lightning to, I've seen enough. I'm with Dennis. Lightning to win the series, minus 130. It's just so much. They're not supposed to win that game. You're playing a seven-game series in Toronto, and you win game seven on the road. Then again, you got to start on the road against Florida at some time off and 122 points and all that. 4-1. They had the lead, too. Nothing. But again, going back.
Well, a three-goal third period.
Well, but going back, why are they going for the three-peat? And they're so good in the playoffs, the power play and Vasilevsky. And he gives up one goal, and they get three power play goals. And again, Florida is 0 of 21 on the power play in the playoffs.
Yeah, that might be cause for concern.
What is going on? And the building was dead. Made no sense. Warriors laying 5 tonight against the Mavs. It's also, you're coming off. I mean, you can't play any better than didn't game 7.
Oh, you are going to beat the Warriors tonight.
Yeah, 6-0 at home. I think the Warriors win and cover tonight.
Okay, so
can we get a close game in these NBA playoffs here?
You think you like the Warriors tonight, but you think the number on the series price is too high.
Crazy. The 270 opener was nuts. Nuts. The two equal teams, two even teams.
Again,
I'm interested to see the matchups here in small ball and tempo, too. Yep.
I need to preface this the way it feels, but the Mavericks did win 3 out of the 4 games in the regular season. Not that it means anything going into tonight.
Reds, Guardians over 7.5. Molly against Quantrill. 7 of the 8 Molly starts have gone over the total as well. I think there'll be runs in that one, and the Reds have been playing some high-scoring games also. In Pocket, presented by Bet Rivers, your hometown book. Check out their daily specials posted after noon Eastern. BetRivers.com, over 350 different ways to bet these playoff games in the Battle of Alberta for the first time since 1991 tonight. Good fun.
Yep. Should be great television.
Yep. Thanks to all the tweets and emails, too. You know, hard to share some of them on the air, but the incident I encountered yesterday where the guys come over to do some stuff at the house and without asking, Guy makes a beeline to my bathroom and did the unthinkable without asking.
He had a bad burrito.
Apparently.
I don't know what it was. Okay, so how about this email? ftm@vsin.com from Tim. This goes back to the Gary McCord interview from earlier this hour, talking about Phil Mickelson. Tim says, so my buddy and I are at WGC Firestone. Course is backed up. Mickelson's waiting to tee off. My buddy says, you know, Phil loves fantasy football. And he goes, watch this. My friend walks up and says, hey, Phil, where are you taking Tomlinson? Honest to God, he immediately stops what he's doing and starts breaking down fantasy football running backs in detail with us for a couple of minutes. That goes to Phil's appearance on the Manning Cast last year, I thought was the number one guest with a bullet that they brought on.
Yes.
Because they brought on too many guests anyway.
Yeah.
But Phil was awesome, and he was super prepared, and he was asking the appropriate questions to Mannings, to the Mannings the entire time. If you missed that broadcast, he was sensational on that Monday night game.
The story from Tom Lehman, I can't wait for these books. Chipnunk and also Billy Walters.
How about that bomb by McCord, by the way? Sorry to interrupt. I'm really good friends with Billy Walters.
Oh, God.
Did not know that.
I know. Mm. Right. Any event. He starts off, he's first hole, eight holes are a disaster, and he's getting ready for the ninth hole, and think Phil's going in the corner and hiding. You think, okay, let's go. Let's turn this around, giving himself a pep talk. He's hiding, peeking, looking at football scores on his phone.
Uh-huh. Was it well known? Yes, it was well known.
Yeah.
Phil likes to gamble.
But you're playing for all this cash. What would the Lee kid win? Like $1.5 million for the Byron Nelson? What's on the line? And still not enough action for Phil that he's got to get action with Gary, even though it's a couple hundred dollars about. What are the odds here? What, I got this putt. Flash me.
So I could not wait to ask Gary that question, right? And if you miss Gary McCord, he was on earlier this hour. You can get the podcast, the Follow the Money podcast now, wherever you get your podcast. Just search Follow the Money. When I looked it up yesterday, and again, who knows how accurate this is, but I did find one report where his net worth, Phil's, is $800+ million. And so this guy, it was more exhilarating to him and more of a thrill ride to have some action with whomever it is. Could be Gary McCord, could have been for a couple thousand dollars, less than that here or there. And so when Gary was talking and he set that up, I knew where he was going to go, what his answer was going to be. But again, that movie quote from The Hustler,
yes,
of money won is twice as sweet as money earned. And Gary started laughing immediately. He's like, oh, absolutely it is to him. Doesn't matter he made $40 million in any given year.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean anything to him. He wants to take it from you.
Beat his friends and take, yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Good fun. Another thing, too, Dallas has lost game one, both series, too. Another reason.
Oh, the Nuggets. Okay, yeah.
Dallas,
the Mavericks.
Against, that, what'd I say? They say, okay. Against Golden State. All right. What are your hockey picks?
I have Calgary to win the Western Conference at 35-1 from back in
October. Oh, that's right. My God.
So I'm just going to let this series breathe a little bit. I was hoping the Blues would take game one from the Avalanche last night.
That would have been something.
That would have been nice.
Uh-huh.
Because then I could have gotten creative maybe a little bit. Because I just, again, with Calgary, the thought of Calgary getting past Edmonton and their favorites, but then to get beyond maybe Colorado, and I get it, Colorado, they've had this talent for a long time now, but...
Listen, you got a nice price, but you got to be careful. What if they sweep St. Louis? What's the series price?
Oh, I can't even. There's nothing I can do.
I mean, there's $7 already.
Yeah, there's... Paul, I cannot... I'm just going to have to go riding that 35-1 into that conference final and hoping that a miracle happens like in game one.
They're a freight train.
Yeah.
They're 54-25 shots on goal, 5 post, 13 rip in overtime. They are fun to watch. God. And great sports fans too.
Okay, so
great fans, Denver.
When and I'll ask our viewers as well, because we have a huge hockey audience on this show. FTM@vsin.com, on Twitter @vsinlive, @MitchMossRadio, @PaulieHoward. When's the last time a team in the league was this fast? And I don't know if there's any way to document that. I'm sure that there's like a second spectrum or whatever to actually break it down.
But when you watch a team play,
and I've been thinking this, I'm not overreacting to last night. This is something that just like watching Colorado play for the last couple of years, the speed is just, oh my God.
You know what it is? It's like a bunch of the Russian rocket, Pavel Bure, like a bunch of him running around.
A bunch of guys like him.
I mean, it's just.
Remember how fast that dude was?
Oh my God, it was ridiculous.
I loved him.
Yes.
But overall as a team, I don't know.
the precision passing,
oh,
the execution, the score. I mean, the scoring opportunities last night were off the charts. You make one mistake, they'll bury you.
Yep. It's beautiful hockey. It's almost like this is the version of the NBA when the Spurs won that title in 2014. They would just paper cut you to death. It was unbelievable basketball to watch.
I think I'm in trouble, too. I bet over 5.5 games in the series. It might be a gentleman's sweep.
Well, again, the way it went last night, it did go to overtime. That was misleading. I'm glad that you brought that up because I watched that goal last night 5 times. I'm like, how fluky was that? The first one for the Blues.
Yes.
Come on. It goes off the guy's skate, gets the perfect bounce, and bam, they put one in.
Mm-hmm.
That was fluky. And then to be outshot like they were and still be in the game is just, come on.
Yeah. Well, we've been here before, though. I mean, remember what happened last year.
They were
supposed to run right through the West, too, and Vegas got them in the second round. Yep. But this is a different animal and certainly a different matchup. And it appears to me it'll be Colorado-Calgary and then Colorado against, I think, Tampa. But you don't want to – I can't just dismiss Carolina.
No, the East is too good.
Carolina's awesome.
East is too good.
Dennis Wright, good home team. And you're getting Anderson back at some point, too.
Okay, so you think Tampa Bay now, you're betting minus one – was it 35?
I bet it before. I'm going to bet it again.
How many games are you talking here? 5? You think it's going to be over that quickly?
Based on what I saw last night, yeah. This guy's too good. You can't score on a guy. Let's give Toronto more credit.
That's what I said. That team could have won the whole thing. That team could have won the whole thing.
I mean, they had 115 points. But this again, the last 6 opportunities to clinch, he's 6-0 with 5 shutouts. He gave up 1 to Toronto. He's fake. He's a cheat code, Vasilevskiy.